There's a new continuous glucose monitor called the Eversense, which is different in the fact that the actual sensor, which they call the transmitter, is implanted in your arm. It's about the size of a piece of rice. And I was interested in it because the applicator, which is what goes on your arm, is removable, and you can remove it for up to 8 hours at a time. And you can change those out every day, or you can leave it on for a few days if you want. Depends on who you are. And the applicator, you actually charge it up. So it takes about 10-15 minutes to charge. And then the signal goes from there to the transmitter, which is implanted in your arm. So I was interested in this because the outside sensor is removable, and you play sports, or if you're, gonna be swimming a lot or in the water, and sometimes just like living life, sometimes the current continuous glucose monitors sometimes fall off, and people have used all sorts of types of coverings for them. I've used the Libre sensor since the original one came out, and I've tried all different types of coverings, and sometimes it'll just fall off. Someone might grab you and things like that. The Eversense originally came out for 3 months and then 6 months, and now it is up to 1 year on continuous glucose monitor. However, it is not accessible to us yet. So I was interested in this, and I spoke to the manufacturer, and you have to go on their website, and there's a lot of hoops you have to get to before you can actually get to the point to see if your insurance will cover it, which mine will. And so you pay one fee for the applicator, the transmitter insertion in your arm. Either a nurse would come out and do that with lidocaine, and they say it's like a 10-minute procedure, or the other place in Massachusetts currently where they do it is Mass General. The Joslin is in the process of getting that approved as a site, and they said probably by the end of the spring that'll be another site if people are interested in that. So I was interested in it for the reasons that I said before. And so I went through all of the hoops to see if my insurance would pay for it. So there's a one-time insertion fee, and then there's another fee that you pay for the daily applicators that you put on the top, and you also get like an adhesive, which the adhesive first goes on your arm, and then the applicator, which is the silicone applicator, it's a little bit bigger than the Libre 3. It's more of an oval shape, like the shape of your eye, and you have to put that over the transmitter, which is inside your arm. So I was concerned and worried about how would I do that, because first of all, I can't see where that's done. So those are the two things you have to find out: if your insurance will pay for the insertion, and then it will pay for the applicators. So you go through the process of finding out if your insurance will cover it, and if not, they have grants because, of course, they want to sell their product to you. They're one of pharmaceutical companies. I went through all that process, and then I was finally able to meet with the inside sales rep, and Frank came with me. Met with the person at the Joslin clinic because they said that the field rep couldn't meet you at your home. It had to be at a medical facility or clinic for billing purposes. I did not get billed for it, but that's what they said to us. We went there, and we pulled up the app. Oh, before we even went there, we downloaded the app and created an account, and it seemed like some of the things on the app were readable with voiceover, and some of them there could have been some workarounds. But for the most part, it seemed like, the app would work. So we met with the inside field rep at the Joslin, and she showed us the piece that goes in your arm, which, like I said, is about the size of a grain of rice, and then pulled up the app, and the app to find out where you place it over your, it'll tell you whether the strength is high or low. That part would work. And it also gives you haptic feedback, like your arm would pulse instead of having alarms going off all the time. And the haptic feedback got like stronger, lighter, and that also could help you in placing the outside part over your arm. But with the phone, once we pulled out the app, it did say strength, like higher, lower. So we knew we were getting towards the right place to actually like put the sensor over the right part over the arm. The app, though, was not accessible to us because the most important part at the beginning is you have to calibrate the CGM. So there was a part that asked you, what is your current blood glucose? And we weren't able to enter the numbers. Frank had tried a whole bunch of different workarounds, and none of them worked because it's a large graphic. And so we gave our feedback, told them about that, and I have an inquiry number in with them, and they said that they would look into trying to update the app. And I've been following that with them. It still isn't updated. You know, it's not accessible to us, but maybe it will be in the future. They're in the process of getting FDA approved for this to work with a pump, but they weren't able to, you know, tell us anything about that because it's still in the FDA stages. But I was very interested in this and still am because you can take it on and off, and the alarms are haptic, so you could feel them instead of it going off all the time. We'll just have to wait and see. But it was a little bit disappointing that I went through a lot of hoops just to get to the point to actually see it and then found out that it wouldn't actually work for us because of the one important thing, which is to enter what is your current glucose so that you can then calibrate the sensor and set it up. That just was not readable to us. And the rep, you know, she saw what it said and she said it was in large font versus the other fonts that were on her phone. I know, Frank, do you want to add anything since you had come along with me on this project of mine?
The app was mostly accessible. The part that Nina's talking about entering the calibration number, that you could get around because there is a box you could type into. It's not really obvious what you're typing. The part that is difficult is that continuous display of what your current glucose level is. And that, no matter what we tried, you know, the screen recognition, image recognition, nothing would read that. Yeah, that was just it was actually VoiceOver didn't even acknowledge anything was there, even if you touch it. So that was probably the biggest obstacle, and we did report that, and hopefully, you know, that will spur some changes. And I really think they just need more people who are visually impaired to actually, you know, show an interest in this so they could see if there's a market to update the app. Because other than that, it was fairly simplistic. Was kind of dismayed a little bit to find out you have to do calibrate it with a finger stick, so it can completely eliminate finger sticks. But so that's all I have to add.
The other thing too is I had asked them if there were any visually impaired or blind users of the device, and the inside rep that we met with said, not to her knowledge, and she said that we seem to be the most tech savvy people that have inquired about it right now. I don't know, I found that kind of interesting in the fact that I asked my nurse educator at the Joslin if she had patients that are using it, and she said that she has, and she said, actually, I've had a lot of adolescents that play sports and stuff that have been using it, especially since they went to the, you know, they call it the 365 version, you know, the 1 year version versus having to multiple times. We'll see what happens because every month we met with them in the end of February. So I've called them twice and now like once a month I'll call them and just give them my inquiry number and see if they've made any updates to the app.
Good for you guys for pursuing it, though. It's very time consuming and frustrating, but sometimes I don't think these things are going to change unless we do just that. Good for you guys. You're helping other people too.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised about, first of all, how long, like how many hoops I had to go through just for us to actually get to see it in person. And the first person, the outside sales rep, when I asked the question about like, how will I know where to put the outside applicator for the transmitter. And she's like, oh, you just know, you just get a feeling. And she's like, you can see the insertion point. And I'm like, well, I can't see the insertion point. So I was like, okay. But then when I met with the inside rep, she demonstrated that and we played around with that, the demo, like on the table there, which it did. It said like higher or lower. And, I moved it away from it and put it on top of it. So, that part would work, but it's the actual, unfortunately, the readings on the app, which is, and I don't think it should be that difficult for a programmer to fix that stuff, but who do I know? I'm just a social worker.
Do you have a sense, Frank, in particular, that it is something that is fixable?
I do think it was fixable. I actually
You
kind of
do.
wrote a nice little detailed techie kind of message as to why I think was an issue.
Like first, when I heard about it, I called about it, and they said, "Well, you have to go online and fill out the page that says your interest to see if you're actually even like eligible." So I filled out that out, and I was eligible, and it only asked a few basic questions like your insurance, do you take insulin, what type of diabetic are you, and I knew I was going to be eligible. That wasn't a problem for me. Some other people it might be, but do you currently use a continuous glucose monitor? If so, which one and for how long? Are you on a pump or not on a pump? Just basic questions like that. And then once I filled that out, somebody called me who was the outside rep who then asked about my insurance. And they wanted a copy of my insurance card to see if the insurance would pay for it. And before I did that, I reached out to my doctor to see what she knew and if she would approve it. And she said she would approve it and that my insurance probably would pay for it from what she knew. So then I sent them a copy of my insurance card. And then they got back to me saying that I would be approved and how much it would cost. And are you still interested? And, I said yes and yes. I said, but I want to physically see this because
Absolutely.
I don't know if it would actually work for me. And a concern that my doctor had was that if she did sign a prescription for this, would my insurance cancel my current CGM that I use? Knowing that, I then reached back out to them and said that she's not going to fill a prescription until I physically get to meet with you and get to see this. So, like I said, there were a lot of like hoops to go through to find out that it actually at this point wouldn't work for us, or at least, for me. So,
Did you have one inserted?
no, the field rep, she like showed us what would be inserted and like she put it on the table. She had like a fake arm, but then she also had like the little piece of rice. We just put it on the table. It was easier to just do that. We put it on the table and then we took the sensor that she had and we put it on top of it. When I was moving it around on top of it, then you could see on the app it was saying, I think it said stronger, weaker. So I was like, oh, and then on purpose, I moved it off of it and totally like across the table to see what would happen. So that part of my fear seems like that would work. It's the app isn't really working.
They say how accurate this thing is?
They said that it's as accurate, and they said that people don't get compression lows with it because it's inside embedded in your arm. If you have a current like Libre or Dexcom, if you lie on your arm for a long period of time and put pressure on it, you can get what they call a compression low, which is really like a fake low. So if you like fall asleep on your arm and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like 53 and you're like, how could that have been? They recommend, you check with a finger stick. Especially if that happens and then you sit up and you just treat yourself because it's too low, like, and you treat yourself, and then you're like, all right, well, now it's like
Too high.
gone way up for the amount of carbs that I use to treat this. I usually, if it's at, say, if you're usually at a 57 and you know what you take to treat it, and you know how much that'll take, how much time and everything, and it's just not correlating with that, then like you should check with a finger stick because it probably was a compression low. And they said it's only like a little tiny scar, which I could see because it literally was about the size of a grain of rice.
When they insert this thing a year later, they have to take that out. Can they put the new one in the same spot, or do they have to put it somewhere else, or?
Adjacent to where it was, like pretty close. So if somebody can only use like their left arm, they can continuously use the left arm. I mean, they said that you can see where that actually wasn't inserted.
So after a while, you'd have a bunch of these little scars on your arm, basically.
Yes, you might. But, you know, they'd be very, very tiny. They would heal and go away.
And the other thing with all of these devices, this is the whole non-visual medical device thing, getting companies to acknowledge that blind people might even use these products and to design them accordingly.
Yeah, because the inside rep that we met with, she was reading what was on the screen. And then Frank was trying different things. I'm not exactly sure all the things were, but he was trying different things and none of them was working. And she kept telling us what it was showing there. So as he said, he wrote in a techie kind of way, a response so that they could hopefully like address it.
Are you able in the app to have a history? Let's say you were eventually able to use the app correctly.
Yes, it was. Yes.
So, so we're going to just continue to pursue this and see what happens. And who knows, maybe by the time it works out, something else will come out that is, you know, waterproof or better. There's a lot of new research and development going on in the diabetes space. You know, things have come a long way and there's a lot more devices and think back, you know, now people use continuous glucose monitors and they don't even think about that before. Yeah. People used to prick your fingers.
Oh, like six, balls. Seven, 10 all day long doing that stuff.
And even before that, you know, these glucose sticks that you're supposed to urinate on. Which a lot of people, including myself, only did when they were like sick or something happened. And it's like, you know, that's kind of like, is it really like this dark or is it not dark? You know, it's kind of like use your own judgment kind of thing. And that really was only like in the early 90s that, you know, people went to using finger sticks all the time. And
like you said, Nina, now they have a year-long, who knows, maybe another year from now, they have a five-year device you implant. Hopefully with time these will be implanted for much longer and therefore you don't have to give them in and out as often. Well, the size of the adhesive that you put over the spot,
it's maybe about the size of my thumbnail, and I kind of have like medium-sized hands. I don't know if that kind of
the actual step that you couldn't do, which is being able to enter the number, right? You said that the rep could see the number and was telling you. So did you make a conscious choice not to have them dictate it so you can enter and see what else the device is able to do? Or even if you wanted to do it, there was no way for you still to enter? In other words, getting sighted help to do it so that you get a good sense of, okay.
Well, you were able to actually enter a number there. It's a little confusing because it doesn't really label what that number really is. But once we got the number in, I mean, the history was valid. We could see that type of thing. We could make notes and stuff like that. It was mostly accessible at that point, yeah. The biggest thing was not being able to read the current reading. That was the toughest thing.
At first, like, we couldn't enter, and Frank tried a whole bunch of different workarounds. It didn't work. And then I said to her, well, all right, just tell us what it says. Let's try to enter it, and now let's see what we can do. And that's how we were able to, you know, then figure out if we put the sensor on the wrong way, you know, what happened and those kind of things. But the main thing is the stuff that you need to know. And they thought, because she said it was bigger. She said it's larger than those other things that are on the screen. And I guess they thought that's what people want to know right away. So it's big so you could see it, but it wasn't helpful to us.
Yeah, just wondering, Frank, did you use like image description? Did you try that?
Yes, I thought about all that.
Would there have been a PC interface, like using a laptop?
A web interface? As far as I know, there's nothing. Yeah.
You have to recalibrate the thing every time you put that sensor back on the outside of your skin.
No, I think it was like maybe once a month, maybe. I'm not sure the amount of times, but it wasn't every time. That was something, you know, that they were talking about trying to improve.
Thank you very much, Nina. That was excellent.